The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, approximately 100 tents, which were being used to house asylum seekers along the Grand Canal in Dublin, have been cleared this morning, and it's the third such clearance this month. For the latest on this, I'm joined by Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times, and also by Olivia Heaton, who's a local volunteer and migration expert. Olivia, we'll go to you first. Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Can you describe to us what happened this morning and what time?
So before 6 a.m., we started receiving messages from the men who were sitting on the canal saying that barriers were starting to be erected, grabber trucks were arriving, and they were seeing different workmen staff. So whoever was awake from our 50-plus volunteer group tried to get down here to help them pack up their belongings so that they'd be able to not lose anything, whether it's documents or the little clothes that they have, and be able to move to accommodation in dignity.
Now, they were moved in very short order, it would appear, and the operation went very smoothly. Do they know where they're going?
So that is something that is often lacking, communication. If I was going to be brought somewhere by a government agency, I would like to know where I was going before I was getting on the bus, but they're not told typically until they're either on the bus or in transit. We've heard from some of the men that they're now in City West, and we're waiting to hear if they're in other locations. So it seems like they're being brought to places that are typically used in these clearings, and often it's emergency accommodation in addition to City West, so where they're in tents, which is not necessarily appropriate for everyone.
Okay, but it's essentially men, young men who are there rather than families in tents along the canal.
It's all men. So when families arrive, children and women, they're offered emergency accommodation on arrival, whereas men who arrive without their families are not offered accommodation. They're given an information sheet that tells them where they can go pick up a tent, sleeping bag, and get other services. Whether or not they understand that information sheet is the first barrier to them accessing the support that they need. They're not all young men. There's people who are in their 40s and 50s, and there's people with chronic health conditions. There's people with other vulnerabilities, whether they're from the LGBT plus community. And I'm not saying that's always a vulnerability, but when you're rough sleeping, it is.
Okay, now the rash of tents that appeared on the canal, this is the third time they've had to be moved. So what is to say there won't be another encampment by, say, Saturday morning?
So it's very likely that there will be, unless there is a government-wide approach to offering accommodation to people on arrival and also those who've been long-term without it. We know people who are in other cities in Ireland, other towns. We know people who are sleeping on couches. We know people who are sleeping in churches and mosques, who are at the moment able to afford hostels, but their resources will likely run out. All of these people are either still rough sleeping or at risk of rough sleeping, plus the new arrivals who are coming every day. So as long as all of those people are not offered accommodation, you're going to see tents pop up. You're going to see encampments where there isn't sanitation, where it isn't safe. And that's just the reality of the situation at the moment. And we need to actually address what's really going on rather than these cosmetic clearings that leave a lot of vulnerable people out.
Yeah. What does your volunteer group do, Olivia?
So we engage with the men as people, which I think is often lacking. We listen to them about their concerns. If maybe they're a vulnerable person who wasn't initially flagged at the start, we try and get them to go to the health clinics that they can access and different things like that, so they can be prioritised for accommodation if that's necessary. We also provide tarpaulin for the rain. We bring down food on different days. One of the things that we really try to do is provide some services where the men are sleeping, so the actual homeless services that are existing are not overwhelmed by this additional caseload. And we think that's really important because we want to ensure that Irish homeless people have the same level of service that they had previous to the situation.
All right. Do you have any solutions to offer to government? I mean, you've said what should happen, that they should have better accommodation for all comers, but the government is struggling to do that.
I think there's a few different approaches. For the emergency situation, it would be looking at using state lands that's empty to erect more emergency and temporary accommodation where there is sanitation and the different services that are necessary for a person to live with dignity and have their basic health needs fulfilled. So that would be the first thing. Even in the lands that they're already using, like Crookston, like Dundrum, there is space. I've seen pictures of empty boxes of marquee-style tents that aren't being utilised. If it's a staff-to-person ratio problem, hire more staff. This is an emergency situation, but it has a solution. It needs to be implemented. So that's for now. I think the government are working on what needs to be done, which is getting more state accommodation online, but that's going to take time. So we need to address this emergency as it is now. One thing I think also that is lacking is the overall view of our migration system, how it's being managed in this country. So how people are applying for international protection, but also what visas you can access from different developing countries. People who have skills, who we need to come here while we have a labour gap, while we have an ageing population, while we have different needs that these people can fulfil. And when the only way that they can access Ireland is by applying for asylum, that tells you something's broken and it needs to be fixed. And there are solutions. And
as someone who's an expert in the migration field, do you have any theory as to why there has been such an acceleration in people arriving here?
I would say there's different reasons for it. One would be we do have ongoing conflicts in the world and different people fleeing from different places.
So no, but in terms of the newer conflicts, we're not getting Palestinians here yet. So those conflicts have been ongoing. And at a fairly steady state, unfortunately, these conflicts all over the world, in Sudan and other places in Africa, they're ongoing. But suddenly there's an acceleration into Ireland. Do you know why?
So Ireland, obviously, is geographically furthest away from a lot of these places. So one thing is time. Another part of it is if someone had been in the UK maybe longer term, the general anti-migrant sentiment there and the policy can be a part of it. But that's not the case for everyone. There's people who have not presented in any other European country or the UK before coming to Ireland and had always intended to come here, but it's just taken time. There's also people who, you know, are coming from those places and hadn't left yet and had withstood, either they didn't have the resources to leave. Often you've the most vulnerable people are left behind and are the last to leave a conflict zone. So you have that as an element, as a part of it. Another part of it, maybe for people who won't get necessarily get remain to stay or international protection at the end of their process and maybe would be more fitting into a bracket of needing to come here for economic reasons, Ireland's economy is doing really well, and that is a part of it. And it's actually a positive thing. Migrants contribute so much more even to our economy.
Okay.
So
it is government policy to revise, I think, the whole visa application. Loads of work for people who are qualified to work and come here as proper visa applicants rather than if they are truly economic migrants, not using the IPAS system. Anyway, Olivia, thank you very much for filling us in on what happened this morning. Pat Leahy, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
This is a political hot potato for Simon Harris, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you talk to candidates who are out canvassing in the local and European election campaigns, and they will tell you how often it is coming up on the doorsteps. Though, interestingly, I spoke to a couple of people yesterday who sort of had the sense, and this is necessarily anecdotal, that the frequency with which it was coming up certainly wasn't accelerating. They sort of felt that they were getting it more on the doorsteps a couple of weeks ago than they are now. But it is a political challenge facing the government. There's no doubt about that. I think you have probably seen a change of approach since Simon Harris took over in the Taoiseach's office. It's a bit more kinetic. It's a bit more determined to show action on a regular basis, even if the action is just as clearances.
Yeah, the optics of having tents along the banks of the Grand Canal in the centre of the leafy south suburb or inner city suburb is probably, they don't like that. So now they're going to have, it appears, tented villages in other parts of the country, not just in the capital. What do we know about where they're likely to be set up?
Yeah, the Irish Independent is reporting on this morning, a draft plan. And to be honest, I think this has been floating around government for a couple of weeks. The obvious alternative, or the only alternative really at the moment for government, because it takes time to set up things like prefabs. It takes time to repurpose buildings, obviously, from, you know, to accommodate asylum seekers. So what you're looking at is a series of tents, I suppose, sort of what you have in Chríslog and places like that at the moment, where
in
you will have high grade, high grade tents, but also, you know, sanitary facilities, catering facilities, those sort of things, which obviously the men who are in those tents down at the Grand Canal don't have. And, you know, as you know, as I think your last guest was saying, the men don't want to be camping out in the city centre with no toilet facilities, no catering facilities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not, nobody thinks, I guess it's ideal to have people living in tents, but if you're going to have people living in tents, then better that they it is in a much more structured and protected environment, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, the actions at the moment are addressing, if you like, the symptoms, but not necessarily the cause. And talking to Olivia there about why there's an acceleration of people coming here, we can look at the Rwanda policy in the UK. We can look at our porous border and the fact that if you're here, you're effectively in the EU. So what can Simon Harris and his government do about addressing the root causes of the acceleration?
I mean, I think this is a kind of a sensitive subject, and nobody in government will admit that the effective policy is to make the offering here less attractive. But that is effectively what the government has been doing. We see it with the reduction in benefits for Ukrainian refugees, but also the very fact that men, you know, young men who arrive are not automatically given accommodation and have to sleep and are given tents and go down and sleep beside the canal. That in itself is probably, you know, diminishing what people would call the pull factor for refugees. And brutal and all, as it may sound, I suppose the effective policy, though, as I say, nobody in government will put it like this, is to make things a little bit more, well, a little bit more miserable for people who are arriving here, at least in the initial stages, in the hope that that will dissuade people from coming here. Because that is, you know, the government will admit that it is, you know, finding it very, very difficult to deal with the acceleration in the numbers. Interestingly, some people I talked to last night, although these numbers aren't official yet, were suggesting that the last 2 weeks have seen a bit of a fall off in the numbers coming. The numbers that were quoted to me was last week something like 350 people arriving, whereas previous weeks had seen, you know, 600 or more people arriving. So I think in reality, that is effectively part of what they're trying to do.
Pat, thank you very much for joining us. Pat Lee, political editor with the Irish Times. Now, still to come on News Talk, are people avoiding public transport due to systemic problems, or is there a snobbery attached to taking a bus? But now I think it's time to look at this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.